Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino here with some special coverage of SNL season 42. And here with us is our SNL expert to break down the aboyness of this terrible news which came out this week. Rich Tackenberg. Rich, how are you?
I'm good. It's a sad day, but I feel like you and I are Michael Che and Colin Jost showing up to the Republican convention for MSNBC to do special reporting. It's a special report on a special report.
Yes. And Rich, of course, the news for the uninitiated, perhaps, is that big news announced that in addition to John Radnitsky, Jay Farrow and Taryn Killam will not be back for season 42 of SNL. Next!
Wow. Yes. Yeah. And certainly Radnitsky, not a huge surprise.
No.
And by the way, the big news as this sort of broke on Twitter and Facebook, the big news to me and I think to most of us is not that Taryn and Jay are leaving. It's that Taryn definitely and probably Jay were not asked back. That was the biggest shock to me. Yes.
Yes. Okay. So that's what I want to get down to the bottom of. First question I have for you, Rich, on this special coverage is, do you buy this? That it feels like this is, if we were to believe like sort of just like the firsthand accounts that we've been presented with, it seems like just like some sort of Taylor Swift song that they're sitting there minding their own business and whack, blindside, Lorne Michaels, you're dumped. Get out of here. And these two guys are just sort of left hanging.
Well, I mean, it's not unprecedented. I mean, everyone remembers Adam Sandler and Chris Farley leaving the show after a similar amount of time. What people probably don't remember is that they actually were not asked back after, you know, their huge run. Now, what I think could be similar in that situation with this situation is, did SNL feel like it's not that we've lost interest in the talents of Taryn and Jay, but are Taryn and Jay not bringing it the way they used to bring it? And are they distracted and are they focused on other things? And if so, should we make the cut? So, but I believe this to be true, that ultimately they were not asked back. I do wonder how much it was potentially of their own making. That's what I'm not sure.
Yeah, because it really does seem like they're victims, at least in the press that Taryn Killam has done. I haven't seen any interviews with Jay Farrow in the last couple of days. I'm sure that there's probably something out there from him. But it almost seems as though that, you know, Taryn Killam, he has a lot of other things that he had been working on, different things that are sort of like in post-production or that he was working on. And it almost feels as though that he brings up that there were, for some people, this isn't a problem. That Jason Sudeikis, for a very long period towards the end of his tenure, was making different movies and flying out and coming back in just for the shows. Do you feel like, was this SNL maybe post-Ghostbusters saying, we're not doing this anymore?
Well, it's possible. And I think that, you know, I also think that it's not a meritocracy. And, you know, did Sudeikis, you know, have the ability to do certain things? Absolutely. Was Jason Sudeikis considered one of the stars of the show at the time? Absolutely. Is Taryn Killam considered one of the stars of the show right now? I would say, unfortunately, no. And this is obviously, as anyone listening to this knows, I love Taryn Killam on the show. And we're going to focus on him a little bit more than Jay right now for a minute. I think he's fantastic. So this is not my personal opinion. But for someone who is probably the second or third sort of most elder statesman of the male cast, considered one of the, you know, the senior members of the cast, he clearly does not have the same buzz that, you know, Keenan has, where Keenan is sometimes in almost every sketch. Keenan has the go-to impressions that we want to see, you know, Steve Harvey or whatever, where Taryn has not been playing that role. And that's a weird place to be at SNL when you're in the senior class, but you're not sort of the most popular person. I think it does put you in a weird place. So then to want to take off, It was unclear whether he needed to take off the first 2 months to finish post-production on his movie, or whether it was going to be harder for him to be committed during those 2 months. But I think that's a harder ask when you're not Kristen Wiig at the height of your power or Bill Hader at the, you know, at the top of your moment on SNL. So I do think that that is definitely a part of it.
Do you get the sense that Taron Killam was given a choice of, hey, either you are doing this or you're doing your movie, we are not letting you split the difference, and he chose the movie?
I don't think so. I don't think anyone in this day and age would outwardly lie about, Lorne Michaels and Broadway Video, considering how powerful Lorne is in the industry. I think you want to keep, if you're leaving, one of the most important things that we see from everyone who's been, you know, who's left, whether it's, a featured player or someone of many years, is you want to stay on good terms because you want the ability to come back as often as possible. And you want, you don't want to be blocked from Late Night with Jimmy Fallon or The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, or Late Night with Seth Meyers. So I don't think so. And the one thing that we hear a lot about SNL is that it is not a culture of directness. And so if he asked for this time, it is very possible that we know that he was given the permission to, yes, go ahead and do the movie. We understand it will affect the show schedule. And yet what was probably not said to his face is, we're very unhappy about this. We're going to say yes, but we really wish you didn't put us in this situation. If that's the case, it's likely that complaints were happening behind his back and then ultimately is showing itself now, where, in a different work environment, someone might have actually had that conversation up front and said, we're really concerned and where's your head at? And it might have gone down better.
All right. Well, let's touch on Jay Farrow as well, because this is also very peculiar to me, just for the sake of that Jay Farrow was brought in after a couple of years of Fred Armisen doing Barack Obama, and Jay Farrow, very gifted impressionist. And we've talked about some of the best and worst moments in his SNL career on the podcast, but we still have this big election coming up here in 2016, if anybody's noticed. You would imagine that there will be some Barack Obama sketches that come out of this going into a inauguration in January. Barack Obama was hardly featured in season 41. How could we not have a president?
Well, they'll give it to somebody, but you're absolutely right. I was trying to quickly
Keenan, Michael Che,
or a new featured player, but yeah, mm-hmm. I could absolutely see them giving it to Michael Che and not doing, as you were saying it, the two things that are so interesting and they're not a coincidence, I'm sure, is one, I cannot remember another time in the show's 41-year history where they fired the actor who was currently doing the impression of the sitting president, other than full-out cast, complete, bloodletting and bringing in a new cast. I don't know that this has ever happened before. And at the same time, you and I have noted many times that 41 was probably the only season in the history of the show where there was not one cold open built around the sitting president. And that's so unheard of. And now I think this is two things. I don't think this is a problem with the impression per se, but we saw this even with Fred Armisen, that there just wasn't anything funny about Barack, or I should say the show never found the funny thing about Barack Obama to make, to make whole pieces about. So while it's very unprecedented, I'm sure they're like, well, what are we really losing here? The Barack, whether it's Jay Farrow's fault or not, and let's assume that it's not resonating, it's not working, and we don't know how to write to it. So if we get rid of Jay, maybe we just give it to someone else and know that we're still not going to build anything around it. We'll just have someone who can play the part, maybe what we're not thinking is that they pull a Larry David, and that they they have a deal with Jordan Peele or some other person to just come in and do him as a cameo 3 to 4 times before the inauguration in January.
So in terms of Jay Farrow and his career, do you feel like it was the same sort of deal where he had so many side projects that there was a frustration there? Or do you feel like that this was a totally different reason why SNL wants to move on from Jay?
Well, again, this is complete speculation. I cannot base this on anything, but this is my
guess. Goes without saying.
Yes.
But everything on this podcast is speculation.
Yeah. But my guess is that Jay just wasn't happy. I mean, I you know, as a viewer sitting at home watching the show, watching him do very strong impressions of prominent African American music stars that I don't know and I can't and I have no resonance with, and having the audience have a tepid reaction to what might be a very good impression, you know, and then watching Jay Farrow in The Good Nights often stand there feeling a little disconnected, not seeing like not appearing to have been very excited by the 90 minutes that preceded it. I think one has to wonder, was he feeling like Chris Rock talked about feeling, and, you know, and in the precursor to In Living Color back in the day, you know, a lot of African-American, you know, comedians feeling like, hey, not this is not a slam on SNL, but it's just not my audience. Like, I want to, you know, Keenan can do Steve Harvey on, you know, and everyone knows Steve Harvey because he's, you know, probably today on, you know, from his daytime show and from Family Feud, more seen by white people than African-Americans and diversity, you know, people of diversity, where Jay Farrow is not in that case. And I do wonder whether he was just submitting sketches about Cheesy and 2 Chainz and other people that I, as the target audience, or, you know, older, but as white America, just doesn't know. And those sketches were potentially not getting on. And maybe I do wonder if Jay was just feeling like, I'm so thankful for this break, but boy, I'm just in the wrong place at the wrong time. And it's a wrong fit. And I wonder if maybe not that he decided to leave, but if that growing frustration was part of what sort of, you know, created the situation.
But in a situation like that, wouldn't that come up if it was on his terms at the end of the season rather than his contract not being renewed heading into the new season?
Well, they are, you know, oh, I'd say 2 things about that. One, I would say, you know, it absolutely could have been a situation where Jay was potentially frustrated or, you know, being shut down at times, but not enough that Jay would actually want to leave the show. But just like, oh, this, you know, I mean, no job is perfect. You know, everybody, you know, except if you work at Rob Has a Podcast, obviously, and post show recap.
Sure,
But other than that, you know, it might have just been like, you know, he may have been feeling like, well, you know, that's my frustration at my job, and not knowing that behind the scenes, as they're deciding who do we cut to make room for or new featured players, you know, this is what we have to do. So I don't know. Actually, I have 3 points on this. I'll jump around. But quickly, I also don't know that necessarily the thinking was, oh, we have to cut, you know, these two guys. I think that probably what was going on is, you know, hey, we don't have any breakout male stars. I mean, we're light on the female side as well as far as breakouts, but we don't really have any breakout male stars on the show right now. The closest is Keenan, and Keenan is the, you know, has been on this show longer than anyone else in the history of Saturday Night Live. So we got to make room. We need hot new featured players or we're going to die. And the decision came from that. Would I have picked these two people? No, but I wonder if that's sort of where the decision came from in the first place.
But the thing that seems like it's that SNL was cutting off its nose to spite its face, that Saturday Night Live is not like, you know, some sort of a sports franchise where it's like, oh, the Mets can't bring back this person because they can't afford him or they can't get under the salary cap. You can't imagine that Taron Killam or Jay Farrow is making that much money. If Taron Killam wants to stay on SNL and just isn't going to be around for, say, the first 2 months, why not just, okay, fine, we'll just figure out something else for those first 2 months and just keep him on the payroll?
Well, that's what I would have done. But I guess on some level, are you thinking, okay, we've got 16.
Because they make nothing, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, there's a salary bump every year, but it's not going to break. The difference between him and a featured player is not going to be so much that, you know, that doing this is going to save a costume designer's job. I agree with that. But when you look at the cast and say, okay, you got 16 people, we know we're going to lose John, that puts us down to 15 people. I do think that you probably are cognizant of, do we really want to go to 17, 18 people and know that Taron will be here when he's going to be here, he's not going to be here, he's not going to be here, or do we need to start cutting to make room? And then do you cut, let's say, I'll pick an arbitrary name, Beck Bennett. I'm not being arbitrary. Do you cut Beck Bennett, who is going to be there 24/7 and is going to be staying when someone like Taron is not going to be there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And I would also, you know, for me, this is the question that we may never get answered until we can actually get Taron Killam to be a guest on post-show recaps, which we need to start working towards. To me, that we talked about this all last season. What would be the canary in the coal mine to answer this question of what happened, I suspect, is answering the question, why did we go an entire season and not see one appearance of Jebediah Atkinson, arguably the most popular Weekend Update character since Stefan? I cannot imagine any scenario where that was coming from Lorne Michaels or Hitchcock or Downey or any of the or the production itself. They burn characters to death. So I have to imagine that there's something, whether it was Taron refusing to do it or some other issue behind the scenes. And I do wonder if a cast member did not want to do what could be considered one of the most popular characters for Weekend Update, even when the show wants them, that would be creating a dynamic that I would worry about job security. That I would, if that was the case, then I could see a scenario where SNL says, you know what, if this person doesn't want to play ball with us, why are we going to accommodate his schedule? Why are we going to sort of kill ourselves if he's not killing ourselves for us?
Going back to season 41, we came in at the start of the season and it was, you know, a lot of hubbub about how Taron Killam was going to start playing Donald Trump. Donald Trump really started to pop on the political scene last summer, and then coming back last fall, it was like, okay, what is SNL going to do about Trump? He was Donald Trump, and then after a couple of weeks, then he was replaced with the Daryl Hammond Trump. Do you see any connective tissue between what might have been going on with that and this decision?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly could be. I mean, what we never found out is, did they replace him as Trump because they thought he was terrible and Daryl Hammond was better? Or did they really feel like we're betting on Ted Cruz and we want to move Taron into the Ted Cruz position? And to do that, we're going to ask Daryl Hammond to come back. That I don't know. But certainly, you know, to end up being sidelined from what was, you know, a very big impression, especially when the audience ultimately did not resonate to Daryl Hammond's Trump. Regardless of what we think about, is it his fault? Is it whatever? You know, after the initial buzz of him doing it when Trump hosted early in the season, you could feel the audience reaction was not there for Daryl Hammond. And at that point, Is Taron Killam sitting on the sideline, not doing anything in the cold open, wondering, why am I standing here watching from the wings? Why is that not me? And whether that's, you know, a lack of belief in him or his, you know, getting pulled out for other reasons and getting screwed, I have to imagine if I'm Taron, I'm really not thrilled about that.
Okay, so now, Rich, in the fallout of this, should we expect another announcement in these next couple of weeks of SNL now adding a person or two to the cast for season 42, or will we go ahead as is?
No, we'll definitely. I shouldn't say definitely. My suspicion is we'll definitely get more people, because I think given that you have no major breakout star in the cast, right? You don't have your Will Ferrell. You don't have your Adam Sandler. They have to keep mining, and that doesn't take away from, I love Pete Davidson. I think he's great. But you don't have the breakout star that SNL needs to have in order to hit those sort of rating highs that they're always understandably looking for. So you're always going to be looking for that person. You have to add, and I'm sure that's partly motivated why they're trimming the cast, you know, so I think we'll definitely see more people. I'm also assuming that they did this in one shot and that we're not going to also hear about another female cast member not getting renewed. I'm assuming that they did this in one tranche of, okay, here's the cast changes. So there's a couple of people on the cast that I would say, female-wise, that I am also huge fans of, that I am glad did not end up in the same fate.
Do you feel like as we look at Taron Killam's SNL career that it is a promise unfulfilled?
Well, I mean, you know, when you look at screen time, I think he actually was getting more screen time overall than almost any other cast member. So he clearly was fulfilling the role and doing a lot of great impressions. I mean, you know, his Matthew McConaughey was great. His Brad Pitt was great. I mean, he really was delivering. But I think unfulfilled in that he did not ultimately take the mantle of Jason Sudeikis or a Will Ferrell before him. Yes, I think the fact that he was only an elder statesman of the show, not the anchor of the show in the way that maybe Keenan is now. But even there, I think only comedy nerds watch paying a lot of attention would make that call. Yes, I think that he didn't hit the heights that I think we all sort of thought he would hit and has the ability to hit.
You have time for a couple of quick questions?
Yes, bring them on.
All right. Ryan LeBlanc wants to know, who do you guys think will step up as the lead male now that Taron Killam is gone?
That's a great question. I mean, Beck Bennett is the guy who would, position wise, start playing the straight man, in a lot of kooky sketches. But I think we have a problem. I mean, I think you're going to see featured players potentially coming on because we really don't have that person. I think Kyle Mooney could step up, but Kyle is a very specific kind of player on the show, and I don't think he's in the same league necessarily. So I think that's going to be an issue. And Pete Davidson, I think we all really loved coming out of this season, but he's not that strong actor that can play big, strong characters. And Bobby is certainly, Bobby's my man, but I don't know that he's going to play that role ever. I would say that probably this is best for Bobby, even though I think Bobby and Taron are close friends. But I think that probably this opens up the door for maybe Bobby to play a more senior role in the show going into the next season.
This is from Christopher Mora, who says, will we ever see Jebediah Atkinson again?
Well, I think he's leaving under good circumstances. He's handling it well. I think that absolutely, when he's got something major to promote, I think that that's probably the thing that he comes back to do. I'll be very interested. I don't think we'll see it season 42, but I think that, when he comes back to host, at some point, assuming his career positions himself that he would, then yes, I definitely think that that would be a go-to character we would see again.
Our own Antonio Mazzaro wants to know, is this fans of a particular SNL cast member calling the show dead when it will rebound as usual, or is this somehow different than any other time SNL has parted with key talent?
Yeah, I don't think that it's my opinion is I think it's a blow to the show, but it is not. Unfortunately, it is not the blow to the show that it should have been, because I think that by this point that Taron should have been really kind of one of the anchors of the show. And the fact that he's not, and that there were whole episodes that Taron basically was in the cold open, showed up in a sketch at 12:50 at night and was saying goodnight, sort of says something. Same thing with Jay. Jay is certainly, I keep, harping on Taron, but Jay is very, very talented. But I don't think that we're going to look back and go, oh my God, I'm feeling the missing of Jay right now, which I think says a lot.
If we were just going to put this in perspective, coming out of season 41 into season 42, if we were going to give sort of the power rankings of the top five most important SNL players, who would they be? Starting with number one is Kate McKinnon.
No question, Kate McKinnon's number one. Keenan Thompson is clearly number two.
Would Taron Killam be three?
I would have, before yesterday, I would have said, yeah, I would have put Taron right there. Because, then you start to hit this pack of taking out Colin and Michael because they're sort of in a special class. You start to have this large pack of very good players that are not key to the show. Vanessa Bayer, Bobby Moynihan, Cecily Strong, A.D. Bryan. Yeah. I love these people, but no one person is mission critical to the show anymore. Each of them plays super important roles. If you're doing a pre-tape, Vanessa's going to kill it. If you need someone to walk on and just say something hilarious, Bobby's your guy. But I don't know that you have any one person. So yeah, I think that's where it starts to get muddy.
Rich, so we will see exactly what happens when we get to the start of season 42. Ron from Toronto, one last question, wants to know, can we get a prediction for the first host of the season? My money's on Michael Phelps, despite the fact he was terrible the first time he hosted. He's a hot pick right now, Michael Phelps. I had said Jared Leto in the spring, but I'm not sure if that's going to happen, despite the big box office success of The Suicide Squad. Do you have a current pick?
You know, I think Jared Leto is a great suggestion. I always tend to think that they aim for an alumni first, even though they often don't, or they'll go with a pop star. So I could see Ariana Grande coming back to host, or I mean, I'd love to see – this is a little bit wish fulfillment, but I'd love to see them start the season off with Kristen Wiig. I think that could be interesting.
Maybe a big opening for Sausage Party, Seth Rogen. Is that possible?
Very possible. Yeah, I could definitely see Seth coming back at some point to explain to me what the heck Sausage Party is. One last thing I just want to say on SNL before we wrap, which is just we've known this before. We've known this again. To me, the sad part of this story, which is a continuing theme of 41 years, is not – is that Taron Killam is not saying, I got a call from Lorne or I got a call from one of the producers and we had a long conversation and they're letting me go. It's, I heard from my management that I'm not back again. And it is a grim reminder for all of us fans that SNL is a business. It is not a family. And you can spend 6 years staying up all night, being with people, you know, not showering, standing on stages till 3 a.m, shooting, pre-tapes at 5 a.m. But when they decide they are done with you, you don't even get the courtesy of a direct call from someone you work with. And that is, it has been true since season one, but it is an unfortunate reminder that we are fans of a business, not a family.
This was a great update here of what's going on with SNL heading into the new season. Thank you so much for jumping on with me this morning, Rich. Do you have 60 seconds to give us a hot take or two on Big Brother 18?
Oh, my God. Loving the podcast. Love you guys. Although my wife and I listen to every podcast, we get very annoyed. You guys are giving Z such a free pass because on the live feed, she was such a pain in the ass to Paulie for so long. And now the show is playing it like he's treating her badly. And that's not fair to Paulie. But boy, I am so done with Paul. I
wasn't expecting you to be such an apologist, Rich.
Yeah, I, you know what? Not because I love him, but because, you know, I think that he put up with a lot and finally snapped and the show only showed him snapping. And, come on, Alex. Come on, Brian. I mean, you, Taron, you guys are watching the feeds. You know, you're not calling it out. And I want that called out because I think he was in a precarious position of what do you do when your showmance has to go? I think that's a very interesting part of Big Brother. But As much as I don't know what the show would do without Paul right now, because I think the show would be super boring. But I got to say, my boy is a boy. I am done. I'm done with it. There is no friendship here for his catchphrases.
Rich, what about the change.org petition to have Big Brother 18 Paul host the season premiere of SNL?
Oh, bring it on. That would be great. Ugh.
Sketch.
Yeah, sketch.
Yeah,
sketch.
Yeah.
He's pitching.
I would be
what sketch
pissed.
He wants to do.
Yeah, I'd be very pissed. That's for sure.
Yeah, he's already perfect. He's ready to do a live from New York at Saturday night.
Oh! Yeah.
All right, Rich. Great stuff. Of course, you can follow Rich on Twitter at Rich Tack. If you have any other questions, I'm sure Rich is always happy to answer them on Twitter. Thanks so much for checking this out. We've got so many fun things on post-show recaps, including all of the Mr. Robot with Josh and Antonio. Also, we have our own Suicide Squad recap that we posted over this past weekend. Alex Kidwell, Mike Bloom, Kevin Mahadeo have the full recap of Suicide Squad and much more to come on post-show recap. So go ahead, subscribe to the podcast, postshowrecaps.com/iTunes. Rich and I will be back after next time we'll do SNL will be after the first episode of the season?
Yeah, unless there's enough news to do a expectations, it'll probably be right after the season premiere.
All right, great stuff. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say on postshowrecaps.com. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.